Hola, hola, and welcome back to Vos Momos. In this episode, I'm going to recap my Tokyo Seoul trip, and I'm going to share stories, pictures, and a little bit of my Polaroid scrapbook journey. So stick around, and we'll get right into it. Right, well, it feels so good to be back in the United States. No, I'm just kidding. I really miss being in Tokyo and Seoul. It was a trip of a lifetime, and I had so much good food. The weather cooperated the whole time. There was like some spurts of rain, but we did not let it rain on our parade. And yeah, like it was quite a whirlwind. 2 full days in Tokyo, 3 full days in Seoul. I don't th know if I got into this on the last episode, but the whole reason for this trip was that my friend Mimi Ming Jung, she and I had been friends since middle school, and we were roommates in high school. And then she moved back to Seoul right after we graduated high school. And so it's basically been a trip like 5+ years in the making. The plan was always that I was going to go visit at some point. It's just like, when would the adult money arrive? It has arrived. I arrived. And so really it was just total luck that everything worked out the way it did. Basically, my credit card points, like travel points, came in right before I got a new job offer. And so I was able to work that into the offer to have some extra days off. So basically, just all worked out where I could build the trip right into this new job offer. And suddenly, it was just like 2 months out where we were planning it. And by we, I mean Mimi planned it. Like, she took the reins. I like created my typical travel itinerary spreadsheet. And on past trips, the understanding is like we'll all fill out chunks of it and it's just supposed to make it easy to collaborate. But Mimi just like, had a lot of ideas. And, she's living there in Seoul and she's been to Tokyo a couple times. So she whipped up an hour by hour itinerary in no time. And it was literally like a dream itinerary. I should publish it somewhere. I am going to do a lot of blog posts just to show, like, make sure the pictures are on the internet somewhere outside of my private Instagram. And yeah, like the itinerary needs to be part of it because kudos to her. Like, I don't think I could have come up with the same thing, packed in as much stuff, seen as many things in such a short amount of time without her. And it literally was like a trip of a lifetime because of that. Because we were able to see so much in so little time, I really feel like I got a really good taste of Tokyo and Seoul. And yeah, like it was unbelievable. Like, I still can't believe I did it. Like, I'm sitting here. It's been about a week since I left or since I returned. And I'm just like, did I really travel across the world, see one of my best friends, and see a bunch of cool places, go to 2 major global cities, and then just come back safely? Successful, like a completely successful trip. I didn't lose anything. I didn't get stopped anywhere. My luggage all arrived. Like, I'm just like, did that really happen? And, a lot of it is just luck. Like, I knew the right person. The travel points came in at the right time. The weather worked out. Really, the only thing we couldn't do was Ginza. We had to skip that just because I was really tired. We were packing in a lot every day. And then we wanted to do a tea tasting, like a tea ceremony, but we just couldn't get the date to work out on that. So that's the only thing we skipped. But I mean, we subbed it out with like this beautiful little tea house that gave us like a matcha tasting. And then in the thumbnail, I have these hojicha Kit Kats. So we got to do the matcha tasting and then also a hojicha tasting. And I'd never heard of it. Like, we have a Japanese tea house in Northeast Minneapolis, which I love, and I need to go back. I haven't been there in a while. But yeah, like, I hadn't heard of that type of tea before. It's a roasted green tea, and it just had such a evolved flavor. And then we happened to see it in Don Quixote, which is a big like souvenir shop and grocery store. And then we saw these hojicha Kit Kats there, and I hadn't seen them in the US. So fingers crossed that I can find them at my Asian grocery store, because I will be sad if I only am able to eat 10 until I go back. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to be on the lookout for them from now on, because I mean, the matcha ones, of course, matcha Kit Kats, if you haven't had them, go get them because they're amazing. But these hojicha ones are also really good. So, yeah, let me just do a quick recap of where all that we went. And if you're watching the video on YouTube, I'll try to throw in some pictures along the way. But basically, day one, it was fish market first thing in the morning. Best tuna, fatty tuna I'll probably ever have in my life. Oh my God, like the gradient on this tuna was insane. It went from lean to most fatty. And it was like each bite was just the next little piece of heaven. And I remember like we were waiting in line. It's like my first. So I got in super late. I got in at like 9 p.m., something like that. I was supposed to get in like 3 p.m. It doesn't really make a lot of sense because my flight was delayed by 3 hours. So I don't know where all the time went. But yeah, by the time I got out, I was just, we couldn't do anything. We went to dinner at a little like hole in the wall ramen and dumplings place. And that was great, like cozy. But this fish market, I consider it like my first real meal in Tokyo, and it was life changing. Like, we're just waiting in line, and I'm getting so hungry because, I mean, it wasn't just a short ride from the hotel. We walked everywhere. We took trains and subways and buses everywhere. So it wasn't just like, oh, quick drive over to the farmer's market. No, like, it's a journey. Everything was a journey. So once we're there, like you're getting all these different smells from all the different stands, and then there's, I mean, you can see them preparing it, like it looks beautiful, you're seeing other people enjoy it, and so that line was pure torture. And then we got the tuna, the fatty tuna nigiri, changed my life. And then after that, we found some daifuku, which is like the mochi. Also amazing. That actually ruined mochi for me in the US, unfortunately. Because, like, I don't know, mochi here, I feel like it's always coated in more of like the cornstarch. Is that what it is? Like, I don't know what flour they're using, but it's just too much. And I understand it's because it's a very sticky dough, but in Japan, those mochi were amazing. Like, and I didn't have any problem with the texture because they were just, every bite was so delicious. And I loved sharing. Like every meal we had, we did it family style, or even if it wasn't supposed to be family style, we made it family style. So I loved that we'd just share everything. It meant we got to sample a lot more. So that was delicious. And then the other like touristy thing to do at that fish market is get the senbei cracker, where they're literally like, it's a giant grill that can clamp down. And so they just pour in the batter. It's a very thin, like pancakey, crepe-like batter. And then literally an entire squid, just clamp it down. And then it creates like a super thin cracker. So that's just fun. Like the size of it is very iconic. And I was a little nervous because I'm like, am I gonna eat squid? But it's just it's wafer thin, so that was fun. And then I think the next stop really was like the Meiji Shrine. I don't know, I love like historical and cultural places because there's just always like people are very respectful, but it also just like places you in the moment immediately by like just grandiose nature of these types of places, like the Torii Gate. So first of all, the Torii Gate, like when you first arrive, is just so much bigger than anything else that you've seen, and it just commands a presence where it's like, okay, I'm now entering a Shinto shrine. I need to be respectful. I need to be observant. And you're supposed to bow twice while you're entering. And it just automatically like sets a tone once you're in there. And then we're walking and there's these beautiful, like, old, I want to call them like old growth trees. They felt very old, very like just like a piece of time. And so you're like walking down this path and you've forgotten that you just stepped, it's basically like you stepped out of the city into a moment of time because it's just so peaceful, it's so quiet, and there's still a lot of people, but everyone's like more hushed. And you know, like obviously there's no cars in there, like there's no buses, there's no trains, so it's so much more quiet. So the first thing you encounter are these is this giant wall of sake barrels, which were donated by sake brewers to the shrine, used for ceremonies and festivals. And they're so colorful. I loved the color everywhere. Like Japanese architecture has so much more color than boring concrete in the US. And I feel like even our memorials and our sacred places in the US are very like monotone, very like granite, slate. I'm thinking of a few different ones, but the sake barrels had like dragons on them, Mount Fuji I saw on a few of them, like really colorful characters. And so already I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. And this isn't even the main attraction. And so you keep going and turn the corner, and then you're there. You're in the middle of the heart of the shrine. And there's these two trees tied together that are supposed to symbolize like love of a husband and wife. Pretty much at all the shrines, you could create some kind of donation and with a prayer or your hopes. So we participated, and yeah, the two trees tied together, like I love anything that symbolizes love. Like, how could you not? And I mean, it was one thing just to like be there and see the trees and see like the rest of the shrine, but then we just happened to be there at the right place, right time, and we got to see two traditional Japanese wedding ceremonies happen at the shrine. And they're in their traditional like wedding attire. They've got like all their family members or their close family members behind them in the procession. So that was just an amazing thing to see, like full cultural immersion right there. Okay, so after the Meiji Shrine, then we were on to, I think, Shibuya, where we did some shopping, got lunch, got ramen, of course. How could you not? Although I will say, like, ramen isn't ruined for me. I still have my favorite place in Minneapolis, Ramen Kazuma, and I'm really glad it's not ruined because I love that place. So I would be so sad if I went to Japan and then I'm like, oh, okay, US doesn't make ramen anywhere near the authentic version, and now it's ruined. Like, no, I'm okay. And so, yeah, like the rest of the day, we did some shopping. I found this amazing cat scarf, which I have not worn enough. I will admit that already. Vintage cat scarf, so I feel very bougie. Like, if anyone asks me where it's from, I'm like, sorry, I thrifted it in Japan. Like, I don't know where you could find it. Like, I'm not trying to gatekeep. That's the story of how I acquired the scarf. So yeah, amazing scarf, amazing find. I couldn't leave without it, obviously. Yeah, so then we just did some people watching, sat down for a little bit because, oh my God, I was struggling with the jet lag. I barely slept the night before. I think I slept for 3 hours. I was just like lying in bed, like, why can't I go to sleep right now? And it wasn't even like a crazy, I don't know. It was not good. Not a good sleep. So I wasn't ever so tired or queasy throughout the trip that I couldn't like eat or anything. I was always able to at least try the food, but I never was at like 100% just because we were out from like 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., sometimes midnight. I think this first day that I'm talking about, we stayed out till 1 a.m. and that's how we got to see so many things. But it also meant I was never fully rested. Okay, and then because I got in so late on the very first day, we had to cram in Tokyo Tower into the first full day. So Tokyo Tower was also amazing. Like, we just kind of picnicked near it for a little bit, just sat in the grass, and there were so many like cute couples and like friends just hanging out in the park. I feel like the last time I saw something like that was in college, where like people are just laying on the lawn and enjoying life. So I wish it was more like that outside of college. And maybe that's why people are so much happier, like outside of the US, because I mean, they always talk about like Europe's very walkable, Japan, Seoul, like Tokyo, Seoul were very walkable. And then people are just, out at the park, like have lunch at like a picnic. I'll talk about the picnic we had later. But yeah, like, I don't know. I think there's definitely just more time to relax and more places to do so. So we took advantage of that park, watched the tower light up. The moon was beautiful. It was a full moon, so they only lit up half the tower, which is kind of like, once in a full moon. That's not the saying, but so that was cool to see. It was huge. I feel like I really only see it in emoji form. This is me, clueless Westerner. And so to see it in real life, it just felt like it got bigger and bigger and bigger the closer we got, which I loved. I love like huge icons like that. We didn't go up to the top or anything. I think that's kind of gimmicky. But just walking around it, I really enjoyed that. And then we did a Japanese 7-Eleven run, which is required. The whipped cream sandwich, that was amazing. They're hard-boiled eggs. What? You would think that, like, oh, it's just a hard-boiled egg or a soft-boiled egg. Nope. Delicious for no reason. I looked up a video on how they do it. They soak it in a saline solution after you finish boiling it for 12 hours. And so it's like perfectly salted right out of the eggshell. Of course, it's better. It's just better over there. So I'm gonna definitely try to recreate it because I already missed it. It was like the perfect little breakfast. And then the onigiri, like that was nice to just try that out too from 7-Eleven. So that was the first day. 20,000 plus steps almost every day. The next day was much more focused. We stayed in the Asakusa area and the shrine there for the whole day because we were going to travel to Seoul that night. Just kept it simple. Plus, we had our bags. So we just checked our bags at like this random karaoke place, which I loved that. Like, I don't know of a place, like, I don't know how you would do that in the US. I think you would just have your car and you have to keep all your stuff in the car. I don't know. So yeah, we were able to check your bags and then we just so happened to be there on the day that it was a dragon festival. Biannual dragon festival. Did not plan for that, but it was amazing. There was like this like classic people holding up the dragon. There were drummers, there was geisha singing and playing instruments, and they were on this beautiful like cart. So yeah, we were very confused. We're like, does this happen? Like, what's going on? And then the shopping in that area was so fun. Like, we got this delicious melon pan with mochi ice cream. Changed my life. I don't think I can find it here. Although I will say it was very similar. Like, the bread, even down to like the lines on it, was very similar to Mexican pan dulce. Just maybe a little crispier. Maybe they fry it slightly. I don't know. But the contrast of like the warm, fresh bread with the matcha ice cream. Did I say matcha ice cream? Matcha ice cream. with the matcha ice cream was delicious. And yeah, like I am going to keep talking about the food because every food I had there was amazing. And then, yeah, more souvenir shopping. We stopped into like this just random, we stopped into this random place and they just happened to have a lot of locals eating there. Like, I think each meal we had of the tonkatsu was like $7 a piece for like a giant piece of meat, rice, miso soup, and like a little salad. Like, great deal. All the food there was super affordable. All of our snacks were like super affordable. Definitely put into perspective just like the cost of living in the US. A little jelly. Yeah, but I mean, it was great for me. Like, the yen was really down when I went, so everything was very affordable for me. So yeah, like Asakusa was amazing. The temple itself was beautiful, like just the bright red lantern. It's very iconic. Got a lot of great pictures of the two of us. Like, I think that's the hardest part on a trip like that is just getting pictures together, because if you're not careful, it can look like you're solo traveling. Like, people are like, who are you with? Because you don't get any pictures together. And, you know, I'm making my year in review magazine, and that is a theme I'm finding in my pictures. I'm like, yes, I'm trying to recap my year, but also I spent it with a lot of people, and like, where are they in my pictures? So just something to think about when you're traveling, like, make sure you get a group picture every day, even if it's hard. And yeah, so then, yeah, it felt like our day there went really fast because we were headed to the airport around like 3 just to make sure we were there early and didn't miss our flight. We were able to get Japanese McDonald's in the airport, which was interesting. They had a few different things that you can't get here. And then I think in Seoul, the Grimace Shake was coming back to Seoul. I don't know. So it was kind of fun to see McDonald's, but I did try to limit any like American food while I was there because I can get that here. Like, I have a McDonald's less than 5 minutes away from me in like all directions. Yeah, I was just trying to eat authentically and locally as much as possible. But yeah, like the airport was fine. Got to Seoul safely. Mimi went through customs in like 2 seconds. It took me like 30 minutes plus, but that's fine. Didn't have very many issues. I was expecting to get like a little more grilled, like, how long are you gonna be here? Like, any question, but they didn't really ask me anything. So that was cool. And the thing about Japan and Seoul, like, everything was cute. Like, first thing I saw when we got our taxi from the airport, it had a, like, an adorable little bunny on it. I'm like, why don't we have that in the US? In Japan, the customs, like, there were signs that were like, stop, read this sign. And it had a little cartoon police guy. And I'm like, of course I'll read the sign. It's got this cute little guy on it. And literally all the signage, like on the trains, like any public place, there were cute little mascots on everything. And in Seoul, I'm getting like out of order here. But we were near like the library, so like even the library had cute fuzzy animals as their mascots, like, and there was giant like sculptures and balloons of them. I think the main guy is supposed to be a hete, which was in the Seoul palace as well, and the library and the palace were like right next to each other. But yeah, like the hete is like, it's kind of a lion. Look it up. It's like a mythical creature. But of course they like cartoonified it for the library and for kids. But there were a lot of sculptures of them in the palace as well. So yeah, like the library had a mascot. All the signage had mascots. I think if the signs in the US had cute guys and little like cartoons on them, I'd probably pay more attention, right? I think it's a great strategy. So before I go, I'm going to give you a tour of my Polaroid scrapbook. And the cover, I don't know. I just kind of put it together really fast. I might change it. I don't love it. I don't hate it. But basically, all of these Polaroids go back until 2019. And this is the Tokyo page, the first Tokyo page. So that has like the Meiji Shrine and then some pictures from Asakusa and then the matcha tasting, like a picture from there. Plus, like these little patches. The patches were so cute because it was like two-way patches. You can either put them on clothes or they can act like a sticker. Great idea. This is my page dedicated to Seoul. And here's like the elevator photo. Plus, like some different little relics. This receipt is from the cat store. And of course, it has cats on it. Like, what the heck? And then, oh my God, Mofusand. Mofusand was a huge thing on our trip. We found like gacha balls with them. We found merch with them. They're just cats dressed up as like food, sharks, different animals. Just adorable. And I got Mimi hooked on it. So whenever we saw them, we'd like freak out and be like, what do they have? Like, what do they have of Mofusand? So that was just a fun thing we did every day was like look for Mofusand. This is another page for Seoul. This was the Namsan Tower photo booth, my Korean Air boarding pass, and then the palace. The one pol I took my Polaroid with me every single day, and I barely got any pictures. Partially because it was cloudy in Tokyo, so that makes it hard to get good pictures. And then in Seoul, there was just a bunch of photo booths, so it wasn't really necessary. So then we got our photo at the Swarovski crystal pop-up, and these photos are from the shrine in Asakusa. So yeah, like if you're considering like junk journaling, scrapbooking, anything, like I would say try a Polaroid scrapbook because Polaroids are so cute from the start. Like here's my spread of the Minnesota State Fair. Super easy, right? Like just slap the photos in there. And I really like this scrapbook because it's black, so it just makes everything pop. And if I want to get crazy with it, I use like a white gel pen and I just like doodle on it. You can add like the captioning. And if I don't want to get crazy with it, then I just like kind of do a simple label. Like here's another simple spread. But I really like that it's small, it's only 8 by 8, so it works really well for Polaroids. And then another thing I like to do is just keep like any stickers. People are always complaining, they're like, what do I do with stickers? Throw them in your scrapbook, throw them in your junk journal. Yeah, like this is the longest running scrapbook I have, and the funny thing about it is like these are not the most important events in of my life. At all. It's just like an event where I happen to remember to bring my Polaroid camera, which is a very interesting curation of my memories because there was like a huge moment in time where I just didn't bring my Polaroid anywhere. Like, let me see what the biggest break is. Spring Honors Retreat 2022. No. Like senior year. I went ham with the Polaroids for sure. But yeah, like during COVID, I mean, how many times was I really even out and about? I think that's everyone. And then now since graduating, like Minnesota State Fair 2022, Florida 2023. Oh, this was my trip with Grant to Florida. See, it's just really cute and simple. And I have this great sticker book that really helps me bring together a spread if I need it. Galentine's Day, Art of World last year, not this year. And that's just like a sticker I found at Art of World. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just super easy to make a page look good when it's small. I guess, like, there's never really like a huge break in time. Okay, this is the biggest break. Summer 2023, the Frank Lloyd Wright trip. The SC Johnson administration building, if you know, you know. And then we jump to like summer 2024. So almost a year hiatus of Polaroids for the Polaroid scrapbook and then Tokyo and Seoul. So I would recommend get a small scrapbook or junk journal if you're really going to try it, because you'll be able to keep up with it. And maybe don't confine yourself to Polaroids unless you're going to be really good at taking the Polaroid camera with you and then using it. So, yeah, it's a very interesting book. I love it. And I still have so many pages. Like, I feel like this scrapbook is going to last me until I'm like at least 30, because it's already lasted a long time. So that's that. So this episode has become extremely long. I'm going to have to split it into two parts, but definitely stay tuned. I'm going to keep you on a cliffhanger because I'm going to make you wait 2 weeks for the next part. Oopsie, sorry. You'll have to come back and hear about my adventures in Seoul. But I hope you enjoyed the scrapbook. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you in the next one. If you liked this episode, like, subscribe, share it with a friend. And yeah, part two coming soon.